Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dusty and Friends.
This is ham soaked in rum. It is loaded with booze.
With Dusty the Fan Man Hera.
Eating your drinks? That is genius.
This is Dusty and Friends.
We are no longer in relaxing mode. We are now in survival mode.
Will you stop being so dramatic?
On 1080 The Fan.
Run, ham!
What you know about rolling down in the deep?
Welcome back. Jeff Rust with you here on this Friday best of edition of Dusty and Friends. A little later this hour, we'll have a couple segments with KGON's Terry Boyd on his past career in the monster truck industry. We'll wrap it up with Eric Peterson. That's Dirt's co-host on the Grip City Golf Podcast. But first, it's a little weekend. Would you rather?
Always awkward, often offensive, exceedingly entertaining. The weekend, would you rather?
All right, so NASA, staying tuned for a huge space rock that's three times the size of a blue whale, and it's about to skim past Earth. It's passing close enough to make it on NASA's Earth Close Approaches table, the Sun reports. The space agency estimates the asteroid is between 36 and 82 meters wide.
That's pretty big.
So, yeah, you know, if you can figure out what a meter is. It's a little over 3 feet.
3 feet?
Yeah.
4 inches?
Right? In comparison, the average blue whale is around 21 meters long.
Mm.
So an asteroid of this size would cause some serious damage if it hit Earth.
Yeah.
NASA flagged the space rock as a close approach. It is set to pass Earth, though, at a safe 3.5 million kilometers.
Okay, come on. Like, geologists and astronomers, you got to take it easy on us, okay?
Well, see, here comes the explanation. If an asteroid comes within 7.4 million kilometers of Earth and is over a certain size, it is considered potentially hazardous by cautious space agencies. And so the huge asteroid.
Hold on. I want to see what they classify as the uncautious, right? The YOLO space agencies, the ones that are like, yeah, we're a little risk. We're a little more risky here.
So it's expected to fly by on June 6th.
The feeling those countries aren't making it to the moon.
The closest approach is expected at around 12:35 Eastern time.
All right. That'd be 9:35 Pacific.
Correct. And then elsewhere, this came from Spokane earlier this week, a cougar attacked a 9-year-old girl who was playing hide-and-seek at a church camp in Washington State, seriously wounding her. The Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife says Lily... Well, okay. We'll just call her Lily. That last name is a mouthful.
Okay.
And two other children were playing in the woods Saturday at the camp near the small town of Fruitland.
Fruitland!
She jumped out to surprise her friends when the cougar attacked. Adults rushed to help and found the girl covered in blood. She was airlifted to a hospital where she had surgery for multiple wounds to her head and upper body. And the wildlife agency says Lily was released from the intensive care unit Monday and remains hospitalized in stable condition. The young male cougar that attacked her was killed. So that brings us to...
Jeez.
How would you rather go? Death by asteroid or mauled by a mountain lion?
Asteroid. You all are going with me.
Just quick and painless.
I don't...
Although it might not be. It might, you know, it might...
I don't know. Nuclear winter doesn't sound fun.
Right?
But... Taking y'all with me. It's like very painful.
If I gotta go, you gotta go.
It sounds very painful getting mauled by a cougar. No thank you.
Yeah, that does not sound very fun.
No thank you.
So officials in prison systems across the United States have banned certain books as a way to prevent the flow of material that they say might incite violence. In Michigan, the ban has extended to several non-English language dictionaries. Over the last year, the Michigan Department of Corrections has banned dictionaries in Spanish and Swahili under claims that books' contents are a threat to the state's penitentiaries. if certain prisoner, this is a quote.
A dictionary?
Yeah. So this is a quote from Chris Gotts, the spokesperson for the Michigan Department of Corrections. If certain prisoners all decided to learn a very obscure language, they would be able to then speak freely in front of staff and others about introducing contraband or assaulting staff or assaulting another prisoner.
Boy, isn't that the most American thing of all time?
He says allowing prisoners to gain access to language books other than English could encourage them to organize without the knowledge of staff.
Wow.
When it's in a language that we don't have the ability to read ourselves and understand exactly what it is that we're looking for, we're not able to allow it in, he added.
Oh, my gosh.
And so it said, if staff is unable to find a translation, the book request is denied and the book is placed under the list of banned books, even when these are in Spanish, which is the second most spoken language in American households.
So they're sitting there, they're going, we're too dumb to figure it out, so we're not going to let the prisoners get smarter than us.
Yeah, pretty much. And so moving on.
America.
In regards to this, and we also heard about Deshaun Watson attorney Rusty Hardin defending his client by saying happy endings aren't illegal. So,
I mean, technically they're not.
In terms of asinine defenses, would you rather defend happy endings as not illegal or defend banning foreign language books for fear of inmates saying things you can't understand?
I think if I'm going, this isn't a win.
This is not supposed to be easy, sir.
This is hard. This is a hard one. And I think, like, in my initial thought was, I think that I would rather ban, or I would rather defend happy endings as being legal.
Okay. Yeah.
Because there is, like, legal, like, I can be like, well, look, he's still a sleazeball, but...
Right.
Which is not what Rusty Hardin did. He's like, I don't understand why people think he's a bad guy.
It happens all the time.
And I could say, well, like, legally speaking, he didn't commit a crime because happy endings are illegal, right? And when you're banning the book, it's like you're saying, I am too dumb. My brain, dumb,
yeah.
Don't want to figure out what smart prison inmate is doing.
Mm-hmm.
That is just stupidity. Well, both of them are.
And so, look, you're trying to tell me there already aren't parts of the population in Gen Pop that already are, like, native Spanish speakers?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what they're saying.
Are they next going to legislate that, no, you cannot speak in Spanish anymore?
Are these the guards that go, like, on the bars and are like, speak English? Which I'm guessing, yes.
Probably, yeah.
Based on that,
it seems that way.
News article you read, that is exactly what they do.
A California woman made a startling discovery after bringing home a set of sofas she found on Craigslist. More than $36,000 in cash hidden inside one of the cushions. It all started when Vicky Umodu of Colton in San Bernardino County started looking through online ads for furniture for her new home.
Vicky.
As she scrolled through Craigslist, she found two sofas and a matching chair that someone was giving away for free.
Ooh.
She thought to herself, maybe it's a gimmick. I said, let me call them. It turns out the family was giving away the furniture, explained that a loved one had recently passed away and they were liquidating everything on the property. Umodu said the two sofas and chair worked perfectly in her new home. I just moved in and I don't have anything in my house. I was so excited, so we picked it up and brought it in. But when she got home and was examining the sofas more closely, she discovered something strange. There was some kind of unknown item inside one of the cushions. I thought it was a heat pad. Said Umodu, who immediately discounted that theory because there was no electrical cord. When she finally unzipped the cushion and looked inside, she discovered several envelopes filled with thousands of dollars in cash. She was screaming for her son to come on over. And I was screaming, this is money. I need to call the guy. So she called back the people from whom she won't say purchased the couches, who she got them from.
Look at Vicky, upstanding citizen.
Yep.
They obviously had no idea because 20 G's. You're going to find that.
Yeah, 36,000.
Oh, 36?
36,000. She said she was never tempted to keep what she found. Bull shark. She said that she immediately gave the money back to the family who gave her the furniture. She said, God has been kind to me and my children. They're all alive and well. I have three beautiful grandchildren. So what can I ever ask from God? Well, how about $36,000 to start with?
Yeah, it looks like he was rewarding you.
She said when she returned the money, the family told her they had discovered other cash hidden throughout the rest of the house, but only a few hundred dollars. The family is not sure why the deceased man may have hidden so much money inside his couch. Yeah. As a way of saying thank you, they agreed to give Vicky $2,200, money she needed to buy a new refrigerator. She said, I was not expecting a dime from them. I was not. So.
$2,200.
Yeah. Would you rather return the found money and feel like a good citizen, yeah, or take it and always be afraid of like a No Country for Old Men type situation?
Yeah, here's where I fall in this. One, I believe this man who died is Ron Swanson, who just like hides and buries money around his property. And to that man, we lost a great one. Because, my goodness. Could you imagine being like, you know what? That couch looks like it could hold 36 G's. I'm going to go ahead and put that there. Don't trust the banks. Or he was involved in some illicit activity, right?
Right.
That's the fear. Wow. This is tough.
$36,000. That's not a small amount of money, but it's not exactly necessarily life-changing either.
Yeah. I do worry, like, and I know this sounds irrational. I do worry about, like, when things like that, like, if I find a wallet, I will call,
mm-hmm,
and I will try to find the person, right? Yep. Not just take the money and throw it on the sidewalk, which I know those people too. And there's nothing wrong with that guy.
Right.
But in this case, I probably would call them. Yeah. There would be something like guilty conscience. That would get to me.
Hey, I found $10,000 in the couch.
Guilty conscience will get you. There was $23,000.
There was $2,000 hidden in the couch.
$2,200. You take that. I'll take the other. Maybe I do play a little bit of that game. But here's the now as I'm playing this through my head, I know exactly what my wife would be doing, which is, no, we're keeping this damn money.
It's time to put it in a pool.
They're like, all right, well, dude, $36,000, you have to get like 70 more G's.
Not these days, yeah.
Well, in Oregon,
it's living above ground.
I talked to, like, this is the craziest thing. Pools in Oregon are so expensive.
Mm.
It, like in Arizona, California, I got a friend in Texas. You can get a pool for way cheaper. Everybody's got them down there. It's a little supply and demand problem that we have up here. Jeez. All right. Yeah. I'm saying that I would like to give the money back. We're keeping it.
Yeah.
Final answer.
All right. That's it. That's all it. I got.
I like it. That was a good one, Rust.
Hey, thanks.
You brought the thunder on that.
Jeff Russ back with you here, and coming up next segment, we'll go talk with KGON's Terry Boyd on his past career in monster trucks. This is the best of edition of Dusty and Friends on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dusty and Friends on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back. Jeff Rust with you here on this best of edition of Dusty and Friends. And just about a month ago, Dusty had on KGON's Terry Boyd, and they discussed his interesting past in the monster truck industry.
Monster trucks, man.
Oh, yeah, man. They're the greatest, right?
You have lived, I mean, think of your jobs and your career, right? You are classic rock station. You get to work at a rock station, so you're in the music industry. Motocross and supercross and monster trucks. Like, you live my dream as a kid, and now you're doing sports. Here we are,
right.
doing sports talk radio. Yeah. You're living every dude's dream.
Exactly, man. And thank you for this opportunity, because I would never have gotten it any other way, because, you know, I know nothing about any other sports. Dude, when I first started doing monster trucks, it's the craziest thing, right? Now I am like 17, 18 years old. And I end up meeting this guy, and I was doing some announcing at Carlsbad Raceway, the local racetrack where I grew up. And I'm forever thankful to Frank and Myra Thomason. They were the guys, husband and wife, who promoted REM Racing, right? Legendary in Southern California. They did it for 35, 36 years. It's been a long time. But they started at the same time when I started. They knew I was on the radio, and they're like, hey, man, you're on the radio, right? And I was like, yeah, yeah. And he goes, you want to announce my races? And I'm like, I don't know, man. I'd come out here to ride and take a break. He goes, I'll let you race for free. Done.
Right? Done.
Right. Because, you know, when you're a kid, you don't have a whole lot of extra money. And that opened the door. I did Carlsbad. And somehow my name got back to this local West Coast monster truck promoter, guy by the name of Dave Matthews. He did.
Sick band.
Well, yeah, he did Rose Garden at the time. Actually started Memorial Coliseum. That was one of his venues. He did the San Diego Sports Arena, and then he did a bunch of West Coast fair dates and those kind of things, right? And he got my name. He called me, asked me to go do San Diego. So I do San Diego. It goes pretty well. He goes, hey, man, I want to take you up to Portland. I'm like, okay. So I go to Portland, and, you know, it's raining a ton, and I wasn't used to seeing the rain. And he passes my name on to this bigger company called SRO Pace. They were doing monster trucks and tractor pulling at the time, right? And
okay.
Tractor pulling was the big thing, and mud bog racing. Monster trucks was kind of a sideshow, right? You had at that point was really Bigfoot. Gravedigger really hadn't been born yet. And, you know, a couple of other whatever local yokel guys would throw trucks together. So I go to Arizona, and there was an older guy who was doing the announcing. And I'll never forget this guy's name, Jerry something. I don't remember his name. He was probably about 10 years older than I am now. And he's just sitting at a microphone going, here comes the Bigfoot. It's a big blue truck. It's a Ford. And here we go. And like at that point, it was like a big deal for a monster truck to just go over a couple of cars.
Yeah, just drive over some cars. Right. And I was good with that as a kid. I was like, yeah.
Right. So they hand me the mic at intermission, and they had it. It was like early on in wireless mics, right? They go, hey, why don't you read a couple of commercials? I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll read a couple of commercials. And I just grab this mic and I bolt out into the middle of the arena, and I start getting the crowd revved up, and I'm talking about this, and I find the driver for the Bigfoot. I want to say it was, might have been Dan Runty, and I grab them, and I'm talking to them, and I'm hyping it up, and I jump up in the crowd next to a family. I'm like, hey, who's your favorite? What's your favorite thing tonight? These kids are going bananas in there on the Jumbotron, right? And so everyone's going nuts. And this other guy's trying to get the mic back from me. And the promoter guy steps between and goes, it's your show from here on out. Just keep going. And so that's how my monster truck deal got started. And
really?
Just
by Wally Pippen, Wally Pippen guy. You just took that mic and never gave it back.
I never gave it back.
So
man.
That old guy definitely hates you.
Probably. You know, the funny thing is I saw him later on, and we did some shows together. Nice guy. I mean, he was at the end of his career. He was going to retire. There's no way he could. He couldn't have ran around the stadium. He couldn't have done the things we were doing.
But that is, so you just did that kind of on a whim, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was my reputation. I had two reputations for monster trucks. One was a lot of energy, plus I had long hair. Mm-hmm. I fit the look, and I already had kids. So I understood how to talk to kids.
Sure.
And be able to, you know, I mean, this was for kids. This was their Van Halen.
Dude, it's the biggest deal in a kid's world. Dude,
kids lose their mind, man. Like, they get so excited, they wet their pants, right? I mean, they don't know what to do. You know? And those are the dads, you know? And you're sitting at these stadiums, and I made a promise with myself. And this is going to sound corny as all can be, but I really live by this credo, is there are the people who go to monster trucks run the gamut. Mm-hmm. You got people who have all the money in the world and they could burn the money and it wouldn't touch them, all the way down to people who save all year and this is their vacation.
Yeah.
That one night with their kids at monster trucks. So no matter how I felt, or you know, if I had the flu or whatever, or trucks were breaking, I was always going to give 100%. The day I didn't feel like giving 100%, no matter what happened, I was done.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to do it anymore, right? And that was my credo, and that's what my reputation was. And I've managed to run it for a long time. It was a hard choice when they gave me, they go, look, you can either continue on Monster Jam or we need you to go to Supercross. Now, Supercross was my first love, but I'll be honest, man, Monster Jam is the most fun because you're interacting with the crowd so much more. It's the closest I will ever come to being a rock star, like where you're like, eh, where are those Bigfoot fans?
Yeah.
Ah, right. You know, and it's just, you know, where are the Gravedigger fans? You know, and you're just going,
you can say anything and they'll go crazy.
Yeah.
They'll go crazy over it. And that what's interesting, though, is that what you're saying is that if you go to a Monster Jam show now, the way that you did it is kind of like you started a new playbook of how the monster truck in arena event was run. And it's a lot different, man, than just sitting there being like, now you've got Bigfoot going over a car. Now what you're talking about, interacting with the crowd, that's what makes it successful, because the kids feed off of it. And hell, now you've got on your phone, you're voting for who wins the events now.
Yeah. Yeah, I can remember I would run into people, man, and I'm bad at remembering names, but I remember faces. I remember being in Fresno one time doing a monster truck show, and this guy is probably early 30s comes up to me and goes, hey, man, I just want to thank you. I've been watching you do monster trucks since I was a little kid, and I brought my kids here now. And I was like, oh, man, I got old. but it was actually really cool because – like I'll have grown men on airplanes when I was doing this come up to me and they'll go, monster, monster, monster. Because just on a whim, I was sitting doing a show. I forget what stadium it was. But I'm like, hey, man, don't start any of the trucks until I get through this chant. Right. Because in opening ceremonies, I'm like, hey, here's the deal.
Dude.
Monster trucks are all about you. The louder you guys are, the crazier it's going to get in here. As a matter of fact, they wouldn't even come to life until they hear you make some noise. So repeat after me if you want a rockin' show tonight. Monster! Monster!
No way.
You got like 60,000 people screaming that the top of their lungs, and then Tom Mintz fires up Maximum Destruction. Gravedigger Dennis Anderson comes to life. Boom! Bigfoot fires up with any number of great drivers they've had. Snakebite comes to life, right? I mean, think about Snakebite, like the very first really themed with fangs coming out of the front of a monster truck, right? It was just amazing. Kids ate it up like there was no tomorrow.
Yeah, it was. That is so cool to kind of hear, because like the monster, those things that still happens when you start Monster Jam events. Now you're like royalty to a bunch of little kids. You are the most popular. You're like Captain Kangaroo, man. You like little kids will look up to you.
It is, and it's actually really cool because I have five sons, and so when we were on the West Coast, my wife and I would travel and take our family with us, and then these promoters would put my kids to work selling novelties, right? And they loved it because, I mean, think about it. You're 8, 9 years old, you can make $100.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money, right? You know, as a kid. So they would be hucking T-shirts and doing different things. There used to be a guy, and I love to tell the story because I can't wait to see what your facial expression is, and maybe you saw him. His name was Crazy Charlie, And Crazy Charlie's job at the monster trucks was to come out during the intermission, wedge himself into the wheel of a monster truck, like get his back and shoulders pushed out, and then do donuts inside the wheel of the monster truck with Crazy Charlie spinning around in there.
He's inside the wheel as the as the truck is spinning?
Yes, I guess OSHA wasn't around at that point. This guy, that was his sole job for like 5 years. I don't know how he, A, didn't die, B, didn't get hurt, and he never fell out of the tire. Not once.
He is truly living up to the name Crazy Charlie,
yes,
though.
Yes.
That is a psycho move. So what do you do for work? Well, I get into a wheel well and let Bigfoot just have do cookies.
Dude, it's just crazy. I mean, I remember the first time I saw it, I'm like, wait, this guy's going to do what? And I've seen some crazy stuff in my life, you know, out there, because they have all of these, you know, they're not filler acts, but they're thrill acts, right?
Yeah.
So you had like the Dynamite Lady, Allison Bly, who would blow herself up.
Yeah.
You had at the time, Doug Demokas, the Wheelie King, would come out and do wheelies on motorcycles and then on three-wheelers. He had the Cage of Death.
You had the Transformer into a dinosaur, the one that...
Robosaurus?
Yeah.
And that Vorion, cool. Those were the two, Vorion and Robosaurus.
Yeah, those were awesome as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, everything was built to being a kid, but, like, you go back there as an adult now, and it's just, like, it takes you right back to where you were when you see that with your family, man.
So you know what's funny is I never got to see a monster truck show. Like, with my... I didn't get to see until I had grandkids. And I took my grandson to Rose Garden.
Yeah.
And Tom Mentz was there, super good friend of mine, Maximum Destruction, and Gravedigger. And it just happened to be that Dennis Anderson was there.
No way.
And so I take my grandson out there, because, you know, I know everybody. We walk down, and I'm introducing him around, and he loves the Gravedigger. So Dennis comes over. He goes, "Hey, Terry, how's it going, man?" I go, "Good." He goes, "I haven't seen you in a while." I go, "I know, just been busy." We start talking. He hooks my grandson up, puts him in the truck. And that same experience happened with his father when he was just like two.
So cool.
Sitting in the truck, right? And it just took me back, all the way back in time. And I was like, wow. Then I got to go up in the seats and watch the show. And I had never seen it.
Yeah.
And I just watched it from sitting in the seat. Now I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, yeah, this is really cool.
It's awesome.
To me, it was like, okay, all right, I got to get ready from here. And then Vorion's coming out. I got to be ready for Vorion. And then, oh, Dennis is going to come back out, and he's going to do something crazy. And I got to make sure that we're all dialed in. And then during the era of, I don't know if you remember Quad Wars, right?
They had
the quads would come out, and it was always like Portland against Vancouver if we're here, right?
Yeah.
And then the same guys, we go to Seattle, and it was, you know, Seattle against Puyallup,
right?
It was, and they would just wear different jerseys, and it was staged, and it always started with "Who let the dogs out?" To the point, I never want to hear that song again.
Oh, believe me, I've got a 5-year-old who just found out about that song, so I hear it all the damn time.
Jeff Russ back with you here on this best of edition of Dusty and Friends. Coming up next, we'll have monster truck stories with Terry Boyd. But first, sports.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dusty and Friends on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back. Jeff Russ with you on this best of edition of Dusty and Friends. Coming up next, we've got some more monster truck talk with KGON's Terry Boyd.
We're talking about Supercross, the ability of Supercross athletes to stay in shape, how rigorous their regimen is. Monster trucks seem a little bit different. Now, is that the crew that goes and will tie one on after a show or an event, or is it more low key than I think?
We might eat a little more barbecue on that tour. But then, you know, I stopped doing Monster Jam before, when I went full-time Supercross.
Sure.
I mean, Monster Jam now, the guys are doing backflips, nose wheelies to, you know, like, yeah. You know, back nose wheelie to a rear wheelie to and then a backflip. So I doubt these guys. And credit to so many great female drivers in the world of monster truck driving right now. I mean, in my day, there was only Medusa, quite frankly. And then I can't think of Dawn's last name, Dawn Creighton, her and her husband, Jimmy, they had the two, Bounty Hunter, the Bounty Hunter race team, right? They were the only two female drivers at the time.
Weird. I mean, that's interesting that's how much the sport has grown, mm-hmm. you know, both men and women. Now you're seeing a bunch of drivers of, you know, the female drivers, like their dads were drivers back when you were calling the races for them. That's got to be a trip.
So here's something funny, right? So Dennis Anderson, right? Gravedigger, arguably probably the biggest franchise ever in monster trucks.
Definitely.
Bigfoot. I mean, they go kind of back and forth.
Why did Bigfoot retire?
Oh, it was a battle between promoters.
Oh, you know? Really?
And like,
that's a bummer.
One promoting group who really put all this stuff and put the money out, they own almost all of those trucks. Back in the early days, it was a lot of independent contractors.
Mm.
And I mean, I'm sure you've been to a monster truck show where like three of them didn't run.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? You know, I'm sorry, they're broken. They went crazy in the park. And they got to make whatever up, right, about it. Nowadays, you go to Monster Jam, it's fully funded. Every truck has deep pockets, deep resources. They can rebuild any one of those trucks within an hour, and rarely will you have a no-show or a no-fire of a monster truck, and that's because they have the money. That same group tried to acquire Bigfoot. They didn't want to sell. And so Bigfoot, they still do a lot of fair shows in the East and in the Midwest. And I've had some great times with those guys, man. Right. I mean, Bob Chandler really was a man of principle.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he started something just to promote his four-wheel drive shop, and it grew into something insane, and they set a lot of crazy records. I mean, there's multiple times, like, in my career, I was on the track running around and going nuts and, you know, the TV camera mm-hmm. trying to follow me. Both Gravedigger and Bigfoot almost got me.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I bailed. I was in Pittsburgh, and Bigfoot was coming at me, and I bailed over the dasher boards right of the hockey arena and bailed down underneath like where the bench was, and the truck came to rest sitting on the dasher boards, like pitched up, you know, and I'm looking up and I'm like, oh man, I got to get out of here. This thing could teeter down. They were freaking out. And the same kind of thing with Gravedigger. I think we were at a fairground show and just got a little loose. And I'm like, which way do I go? You know, and that started the advent of the RII, right? That's called the Remote Ignition Interruption System. That's why you see all the guys on the track are holding these, like, what look like walkie-talkies.
Yeah.
Any trucks get slightly out of control now, bang, they stop it. It's violent for the driver because it's a disc brake on the drive shaft. It just stops.
Locks it up.
It just locks it up, and it's brutal, man. It's brutal for the driver when that happens.
That is, I didn't know that about, like, they just have the automatic stop because, I mean, in monster trucks, like, we have all seen, like, the world's craziest videos where the wheel comes off or something like that. But, I mean, there are very few. You think of how many shows they do in over the course of a year. There's very few accidents of that nature unless they have a dumbass arena guy running in front of the monster truck.
That would be me. So what they do, they have gone to such great lengths to make these things safe. At least, you know, when you go with Feld Entertainment, used to own Ringling Brothers, still do, but they own all them. They own Monster Jam and Supercross now. They spend endless hours in safety testing, especially in the off season, to make sure everything is right. Back in the beginning days, I did a fairground show where they brought a monster truck from the Pacific Northwest, Super Pete. It used to be a Peterbilt monster truck, right? And they brought it down, and we had 15 monster trucks advertised as 14. That's a lot of trucks in one place. The slowest qualifier was going to have to face the crane of death. That was I'm sitting there. I'm sitting there going, okay, so just tell me what the objective is here. He goes, it's simple. Whoever qualifies slower, we're going to hook him to this crane, lift him up 100 feet in the air, and we're going to drop it. Right?
You're kidding.
And I go, that, have you guys like thought through? Oh, yeah, man, we went to UC Davis. They had an engineer figured out, we're safe. We know where to drop it, right? So they purposely built a truck that looked really like a real monster truck, but it just had like a Vega engine in it, right? It
sure.
was terrible, right? And so it's a slow qualifier. Oh, I can't believe it. Oh, he's going to face the crane of death. And they hook it to this crane and they start taking up, and the crowd is going crazy, right? And so I'm like, all right, help me count it down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. They pull the latch and this monster truck comes down, and they tested it like 5 times and it always fell straight. This time it fell at a slight angle and it landed on the tires. It was like the world's biggest super ball. It just goes, ba-doing!
You're kidding.
Everybody was running for their lives, man. I mean, we're like, where's it going next? We're running it just like, ba-doing! Ba-doing! Into the backstage parking lot, took out like 6 rental cars.
No way.
Finally came to a stop. And it absolutely destroyed the place. And to the promoters, they thought it was great. The crowd went nuts. That was on a Friday night. Saturday show was sold out. Sunday show was sold out. Everyone wanted to see the crane of death.
Oh, my goodness. And on top of that you're now getting, like, always get rental insurance on your rental because you never know.
Oh, dude, we would go on the road and you'd get that LDW because we'd be bored in different cities. We would go inside the arenas and then race our rental cars. And we got to a point where Avis was like ready to drop our corporate account because we had wrecked so many cars. This is stupid. I mean, dude, we're kids who were on the road, basically unsupervised, with a company credit card and cars and hotels. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
And a food per diem.
All right, Jeff Rust back with you here after battling the technology gnomes. Coming up next on the other side of the break, taking a look at some of Oregon's best golf courses with Dirt's co-host on the Grip City Golf Podcast, Eric Peterson. That's next on this best of edition of Dusty and Friends on the Fan.
Dusty and Friends on 1080 The Fan.
Jeff Rust back with you as we're working for the weekend, closing out this last hour of this best of Dusty and Friends. And about a month ago, Dusty had a chance to talk to Dirt's co-host on the Grip City Golf Podcast, Eric Peterson, on the best Oregon golf courses.
Our kind of jumping off point in the last segment was about kind of these gems that we have here in our own state. We've got some great golf, not just Bandon. Like, Bandon takes up so much of the attention, but we've got awesome courses in Central Oregon, Southern Oregon, East Oregon. We had a text here. It's like, you know, where does Eugene Country Club rank for you? I mean, there's awesome courses littered throughout the state that are both public and private.
Yeah, I mean, Central Oregon is a destination in and of itself, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, before Bandon Dunes existed, when people outside of Oregon, or like even in Oregon, when they think of like a golf destination in Oregon, it was Central Oregon, right?
Yeah.
And so, and they've added new courses since Bandon was created. I mean, you could make the argument that as Bandon Dunes started to elevate, that Central Oregon said, hey, guys, we got to get our act together, too, to try to compete with this. So kind of the rising tide raises all boats theory that I think it's helped Central Oregon. But there's so much good golf. And I mean, you and I were just kind of rattling off a list of courses that we'd want to go play. And it's like, there's dozens of them.
Yeah. I mean, really cool places like Sylvie's Ranch. And they all have unique little twists to them, too. Like Sylvie's Ranch, where you have the goat caddies.
Yeah.
And you can stay. I mean, I think you kind of have to stay out there. It is literally in the middle of nowhere.
Have you been out there?
No. It is in, but it is in the middle of nowhere. I was told where it is. And I looked at it and I was like, it's a 4.5 hour drive from Portland, and you're not on the edge of the state at all.
Yeah.
You're in like John Day area.
Yeah.
It's a long trek.
It's like in Burns, but like north of Burns.
Yeah, it's called Seneca.
I don't even know where Burns is. It's in Oregon somewhere.
But it's a trek to get out there, but apparently it's an awesome like you get a two-way course that you can play. You can do like skeet shooting and excursions and stuff like that. It's more rustic, but you have like a Sylvie's Ranch if you want that kind of experience. And then you have Central Oregon's got Tether Row, Pronghorn, Brasada, Crosswater at Sun River is one of the best courses in the state, period. If you look at it, it's one of the toughest courses too. I think it is the toughest public course, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yep. It hosted some big tournaments. It had the Gelled Wen tournament back when that was still going on. And then they had there was a Champions Tour major there for a number of years. Like it has pedigree for sure.
See, as somebody who you're way more in tune with kind of what's going on outside of the state of Oregon. Is Oregon unique with the amount of like great courses that we do have, or is it like every state has what Oregon has going on, like Bandon excluded?
Yeah, that's a good question. It seems like as we're sitting here talking about how many opportunities there are to go play golf in Oregon on a per capita basis, I don't know how it compares to other states, but I would imagine it's probably pretty high.
Yeah.
You know, because some of the other states that have a lot of great golf courses, they also have a ton of people.
Sure.
And in Oregon, you know, the population's smaller compared to other states. So that's a good question. You know, on a per capita basis, how much golf do we have, and is it more than other states? If I had to bet, I would say that we have more than a lot of other states do.
What is your favorite course if you take Bandon out of it and you just like, all right, I'm here in the state of Oregon, this is where I want to roll?
Yeah, that's an awesome question. Actually, I mean, it's funny the timing of this, but Eugene Country Club is like probably my favorite. I don't know if I'm a little biased because it's in the Duckland, but I just, that course, you've played it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just fantastic. And the greens are a little fast, but if you can get over that part of it and keep it below the hole, it's so pretty. And the trees are just magnificent. I mean, they're massive. And that would probably be my favorite course outside of Bandon.
Do you think there is something to the courses just aren't long enough to host PGA events? Like what is it that, you know, the state of Oregon can't get anything? I understand Bandon, where it's like, you're not going to hold a big, huge tournament out there where you don't have enough rooms for everybody to stay or you have nowhere to go. But why can't there be a major PGA event, not a major, but a PGA Tour event in Central Oregon or here in Portland?
Yeah, it's a good question, and something that I think a lot of people have wondered.
Yeah.
I think that there's a few factors that go into a golf course getting a PGA Tour event. You need the golf course, obviously,
sure.
Something that can stretch out long enough as far as guys hit it anymore. But if you can check that box, then you got to go to the surrounding infrastructure on that property. Like, is it carved into a small parcel of land like Portland Golf Club, or is it like Pumpkin Ridge where you can spread out a little bit? Central Oregon, there's more real estate for things like that. So that's the second thing, is you need to have the surrounding area to set up TV trucks and all the catering and all the like parking. And obviously, so the footprint of a PGA Tour event is much bigger than just the golf course itself. The third thing you need is you just need the, like you kind of said, lodging and the logistics and the businesses around it, like the businesses that are going to buy a suite on the 18th hole because their business is headquartered there. I mean, that's why you see a lot of tour events in metro areas anymore, is because there's corporate dollars there. And so you've got companies that will buy a suite or buy a pro-am foursome. And so you need, and there's obviously hotels in a big city. Whereas a place like, I used to get this question about Bandon, like, could Bandon ever host like a
US Open? Yeah.
Why not? Like, it'd be amazing. And of course, you know, they check the first two boxes. They could stretch them out long enough, and they have the surrounding, the footprint of the property is big enough, but that third one is what they don't have. You wouldn't be able to get people or businesses to, or enough people by the thousands to be able to get in there and go.
So I have my theory, cruise ships. The NFL did it with Super Bowl in Jacksonville. They just brought in cruise ships. Do you remember that?
I think they did that at Chambers Bay, too. If I'm not mistaken, at the U.S. Open, they had something like that.
See, and that was considered a disaster because you had fans that were baking because there were zero trees.
Yeah.
You had the logistics of you were trucking people back and forth. The USGA was like, oh my gosh. And then you also had the complaints from golfers about, you know, the course conditions, you know, throughout the week. But that has always been like, if you could you imagine the fun that the USGA could have screwing with the pros, where it's like, you know what, we're going to play Pacific today and then tomorrow guess where you guys get to go? You guys get to head on out to Old Mac, and you every day you can just screw with them a little bit.
It would be incredible as a venue if it was just the golf course is all they needed. If that's all they needed, it would. I think they could get it. They could do it, and it would be incredible. Unfortunately, just because of the geography of it, that's the reason why they won't.
Dang it. Yeah. Well, they should have done it during the COVID year where no fans going to come anyway. That's the only way that you're going to have it happen again is if we have another global pandemic. They can get on a list for that, maybe.
Thanks for listening to this best of edition of Dusty and Friends. Coming up next, due to a combination of illness and vacation, we'll be taking you to ESPN Radio. I'll be with you here for the live sports updates to keep you up to date on any local breaking sports news. But we will talk to you on Monday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.